Hello, good morning, hello. Well, it's not morning, but
could be evening.
I always say, I don't know why I got into that habit, but I've gotten into the habit of every time someone calls me, my response is good morning.
Even at night?
Even at night. Yeah. Good morning. I think I'm just trying to, it's kind of like, have you ever heard of this psychological, yeah, that too. I wish. there's a psychological thing that I learned when I took psychology, the one psychology class I took in college, that if you really want to psych someone out, you get into an elevator and you stand in the corner and you just stare at the corner.
Like facing the corner?
Yeah. Like you're in trouble and you're in the corner. You're forced to go in the corner. Yeah. You just stand in the corner. I've tried it a couple of times. It does freak people out, but I don't know.
That would be weird. I don't know what I would just assume someone was on a timeout. I don't know.
Yeah, well, exactly. that's what I would expect. But anyway,
you've never really done that. You get in an elevator.
Yeah, I have, actually.
Alone or with other people?
No. I will admit I've only ever done it with people I know in the elevator.
All right.
That's so it's, I mean, not everybody. There are some strangers. Like we would go to an event and I have coworkers with me. Yeah. And even if there are other people, as long as I'm with my coworkers, I'll go stand in the corner because I don't want to get shot.
I have to give props for this one. May God rest his soul. My buddy Rich Rikus was famous for getting on an elevator at our corporate headquarters. And there, you know, typically there were five or six of us, but always somebody from another office not working with us. Uh-huh. And Rikus would say this almost every time. So has that rash cleared up or is it probably gonna hang on for a little longer?
That's incredible.
It was awesome because, you know, you'd always either say, no, I still got it, man. It's really itchy too. I don't know what I'm going to do about it. It seems to be getting worse. So either you'd play along or you'd laugh and ha-ha, you know, right from the start. But it was almost, you could set your watch by it that if we get in, hey, you guys from a different office? Hey, how's that rash going? You know, it was going to automatically come out. One of my favorite things I remember about Richie was that, because everybody who didn't know him especially was terribly uncomfortable. And those of us who did know him were expecting it to happen all along.
Right. I didn't plan this once, but I thought of it at the last minute. I was working in St. Louis and I got on, our office was right across from what we called St. Louis Bread Company, which is Panera. It's just, right. I think it started. Yeah. And so we would always go over there for lunch. And once we got on the elevator once, and this other group of people came on the elevator, and I went like this, and I looked at my coworker and said, "Your fingers ever smell funny when you get done with a St. Louis Bread Co. sandwich?" And then he bursts out laughing, and you just see these people go.
Oh. Well, yeah, they look
because you have to add the.
Yeah, they say you too.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah,
you too.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of Panera, and they are not a sponsor, but
Panera. Not a sponsor. Thank you.
There is one 2 miles from our house, and okay. It is like the only Panera I've been to that is consistently horrible.
I could share a few with you.
Well, maybe you could, because the St. Louis connection probably, but I mean, it's, normally, I'm used to them, one in Madison, Wisconsin, we used to go to, that was so packed, you could hardly ever be guaranteed to get in, maybe even, you know, not find a parking spot. This one is always busy, but from junk on the floor not being clean to the restroom not being stocked. I mean, it's almost everything every time. And you look at their reviews, and it's 2 stars, and it's consistent, and everybody has lousy comments. And I'm just, why, if you're the manager of that place or any place that happens to, it's not just them I'm trying to single out, but I am.
Sure.
It's terrible. And why wouldn't a manager say, I'm really sorry, reply to the reviews. You know, that's something you and I talk about all the time. Get engaged with that stuff, and try and fix it. But I'm just amazed. And in spite of themselves, they're still
They're still
constantly.
busy. That's why, right there, that is exactly why, is because they're still busy. There's no reason for them to look at their anything to improve business because they think it's going just fine.
Well, maybe it's a
I will have
tactic.
to say, and
Maybe
I
it's a
know I
tactic
don't,
so they don't get busier.
it could be, it could be, it very, very well could be. They don't have enough people to manage the all of the service.
That's part of it
I
too.
was at a dealer, I was working with a dealer this past week, that I was really impressed by an answer to one of my questions, and it had to do with the expectation of a customer and when they come through the door and how you treat them. And he said, I focus on the little things and I expect my team to focus on the little things as well. And that makes for the best customer experience because if you mount up all these little things, it leads to a great experience. And I'm like, that is the, I'm not saying it quite as eloquently as he said it. But it was when I had to stop and say that was the best answer to that question I have ever heard.
One of
And
the
I'm
quotes
probably
I,
going to use it.
yeah, as you should, one of the quotes I used to, that I originated many years ago, at least I think I did, or I stole it and didn't tell anybody.
97% of all statistics are made up on the spot.
That's another good one. But the one I used to use consistently was, if you take care of the little things, the big things will take care of themselves.
Exactly. Yeah. I love that saying. That's very, very good.
It originated with me, at
So
least that's
as
the story I tell.
I'm gonna stick with that. I'll tell everybody that
Thank
I only ever heard it from you. But we are obviously 5 minutes in, almost 7 minutes in, and we started way off topic because that's not how we were going to start, which is pretty usual. So we must be back. We
was
must be
gonna
back. Potty Miles is back.
say.
We are kicking it. We're kicking it into gear, all of these good things. But I wanted to focus on something because this is being recorded after our fast, this most recent Fast Friday, which was the March 10th Fast Friday. And then this is also going to air after the March 10th Fast Friday. I wasn't a part of the Fast Friday. John did it solo because I wasn't able to record this past week because I was very, very busy. However, John did a great job. And at the very beginning, he mentioned a couple of things that I wanted to discuss. Well, he mentioned a couple of things. And then, of course, he had the historical events that he mentioned. So first off, I want to address Jimmy's World and why I recommended Jimmy's World to John and then John to all of you. Jimmy's World is really interesting. You know, John and I both like flying and we like all the things that come with it, old airplanes. And Jimmy is a former, well, he is an entrepreneur, but he sold his business, which is where he got a lot of money, and he's now investing in airplanes, fixing them up and reselling them. I have been watching him now for a couple of years and interested in some of the things, just interested in his personality as well, because he's getting more polished, but he was not a very polished YouTuber in the normal sense. And he's got a lot of opinions and he's not afraid to share them either. And whatever the opinions are, whatever political side you're on, I just really enjoy it when people aren't afraid to say what they think and they're not ashamed of it either. I think we along with not being able to talk to the other side, I think a lot of people also suffer from being afraid to say anything nowadays. So that said, Jimmy, and I don't know, John, if you got to watch these episodes yet, but Jimmy recently purchased one of Elvis Presley's abandoned jets, one of his private jets. It's been sitting, I believe, in New Mexico, either New Mexico or Arizona now for almost 30 years. The engines are actually in the museum in Memphis. So he doesn't have they don't have it doesn't have an engine, but it had the fuselage. So I've been watching some of these. He bought it and he's taking it back to Florida to fix it and all of that stuff. Well, that's all and fine. It's all good. And never, though, have I had the experience out of all the YouTubers that I watch. And in fact, one of my favorite couples that I watch are from Nashville, and I've never seen anything with them around. But I was on my way to that dealer I was mentioning. I was in West Memphis, which, for those of you who don't know, West Memphis is actually in Arkansas. just like East St. Louis or, you know, other places that have Kansas City is another example. You know, Kansas City straddles both, both states. But, so I was driving, I had just crossed the border on my way. I was just outside of West Memphis on my way to Little Rock, Arkansas. And all of a sudden I see this 18 wheeler coming the other way. And I'm like, that looks like an airplane plane fuselage. That looks like a very familiar airplane fuselage. Try to say that five times fast.
No.
And then it gets closer and gets closer. And I'm like, that's Elvis's jet. That's Elvis's airplane. That's Jimmy's World right there. So never have I had, it's kind of almost like some of these YouTubers have reached that level where they are, I'm not going to say famous, but they're famous enough that when you see something in the real world, you're excited to see it because you're like, well, wow, I saw it. It's real.
And he, for sure, he doesn't have as many followers as I thought he might. And I don't mean that in a negative way because it's a pretty specialized YouTube channel. Unlike
it is.
Our friends, mm-hmm. Kara and Nate, who, you know, they're mainstream for sure and have, you know, 4 million, whatever followers. So to see that makes it even more, maybe a little unusual, but also really cool because after you watch the video, you go, wow, that is a pretty neat story. And just for him to get his hands on that plane to try to do something, anything with it, is pretty impressive.
Right.
And to see it, you're right. It kind of makes it real. Unlike when you and I are sitting watching them and we're like, oh, wouldn't it be great to see? Oh, hi. I didn't think I'd meet you, you know?
Exactly. And I will have to say, though, I have reached out to Jimmy in the past because he runs an organization and needed someone to help build a website. So I offered my services. He did find someone else. But, you know, it's not like I haven't actually in some way, shape or form communicated with him. So it's still a little bit strange because I would never do that to my favorite movie star. But you're right. It's just really it brings it home. You see that in person. And speaking of seeing things in person, hold on just a second.
Uh-oh.
My space heater actually kicked on and it was distracting me. So, but you had moved on to...
You should not have a space heater.
I shouldn't have a space heater?
No, you like cold.
No, before I go on to that second part, let's talk about that. Yeah. Do you know, and I've had to explain this to a lot of people, so this is something I've rehearsed multiple times. Do you know why I like the cold?
Yes, because you like wearing fluffy clothes.
I like warmth. I know that's counterintuitive, but I like spotted warmth. It's kind of like I use this example because I was trying to help my wife with the same thing. I don't like overhead light. Like I have a fan right here and it has a light on it. I never turn this light on. Mm-hmm. I turn on my desk lamp. I turn on a lamp over there on my bookshelf. I like little spaces of light. It lights the room enough, but I like little pockets of light. I'm the same way with heat. Keep everything cold because I can cool off really quickly. And then I can get into a space that has heat. So I have the space heater sitting at my feet and it automatically kicks on and warms me up just enough. And then it shuts off. I love it. So that's why I like dry heat too. So like a fireplace or a bonfire or something like that, when it's cold out, I love that. What were you holding up? I saw you holding up something.
No, my remote, I have overhead light on my ceiling fan, which I never use, as you said. So I like outside light coming in, which is what we're using right now.
Yep.
And spots of
light. That's where this light's coming from.
I think that's studio lights. I'm not a big fan of because they're often so bright and, you know, you can adjust it. Obviously, you know that, but it's just I'm with you. I totally agree. And I get that's a really good example of why the heat, because you're controlling it as opposed to just being
suffering from
through
it.
whatever is in front of you, whether it's heat or cold.
Right.
Yeah.
And you can't do that as well with, I heat up a lot better than I cool down. So you can't really do that with an air conditioner.
I'm going to leave that alone.
You can stand in front of an air conditioner, but you're still going to be sweating.
I heat up better than I cool down. Well, maybe you should hang out with different people, sir. I don't know what that means.
maybe.
I don't know what that means.
The first time I've heard that. So let's go back to your Fast Friday, which again, very well done. A lot of really good historical events, but one that really stood out to me was your Hitler comment about, was it Dachau?
Yes.
So the reason that, that it triggered me in a good way, but the reason that I found that very fascinating is, you know, John, you know my history, but I don't know if we've ever talked about it on the podcast about my family history and the fact that I lost a lot of family in the concentration camps, Dachau being one of them, and Auschwitz and some of the other ones as well. So I thought that was very, very interesting. It some that's one little historical fact that I've actually never heard. You know, we know that I can't remember, Ferdinand Porsche created the first Volkswagen at the request of Adolf Hitler, the first Beetle. And you know, the whole existence of our freeway system comes from the Nazis during World War II. Same with the cloverleaf when it comes to getting on and off the freeways, all of these things, but I've never heard that little, and I know that that stuff advanced our world all over the world, not just, you know, in Germany or even in the United States, but we get so focused on things like that, we forget those little things, which I find very, very fascinating. So I, again, all that to say, it was very interesting to hear. And I thought it was a really good little nugget of history. So
you know,
good job, John.
Well, thank you, sir. It's, you know, obviously we can find it anywhere, but it's one of those things. And as I said, history is, it's not always pretty. And what happens sometimes is we have people who want to hide history or want to, you know, make it go away because it's ugly. Well, look, history is sometimes ugly. And so we can't ignore it because, you know, and that's the old saying that if you ignore history, you run the risk of repeating it. And
exactly.
So there's some truth to that. So you, I think the main message I want to get across is it's not always pretty. It's stuff that we can't forget. We should never forget. But in addition to that, we should also be able to identify stuff as being horrific when it is. You don't, for us to just stand in line and say, okay, whatever you say, whatever you can, that is the downside of being subservient to a government or any one individual like that. He wasn't even, he wasn't even the Fuhrer then. He was the new chancellor. And so it was weird. And then something that people were probably misled to believe was going to be okay and it'll be fine and we're just going to make it easier and so on. Well, you know how that ended.
Yeah. Well, and I again, forgive me if I've shared this story before, but I know we have millions of new listeners, so they probably haven't heard
it. Yes. Well, it's good for them to hear.
But my grandmother, when I actually asked her questions about that, because it was her, her family, her side of the family, and she very, very rarely spoke of her experiences. One of the things that she did say was when he was chancellor, before all of the horrific things started happening, everyone was, even the Jews were enamored by him. They didn't trust him necessarily, but they were enamored. They would listen to him speak and very, uplifted by the messaging. And it's, again, it's all about how you package. And that, in fact, I was sharing with some of my coworkers the other day that a little history nugget about public relations, because we were talking, we're working on a project and we were talking about an element of public relations and talking about it. And I said, did you guys know that public relations is actually the new term for this type of thing?
Wow.
Like, no, what is it? It's like, it's propaganda. Even during World War One, World War II, it was the Office of Propaganda, not public relations, not a war correspondence, not any of that. It was propaganda.
Yeah.
And there was such a negative connotation with the use of the word propaganda that they created this new term called public relations, but it's the same thing.
Interesting.
I think I blew their minds. I hope I blew. Hopefully they're listening and going, yes, Nick, you blew my mind. Or they're saying, I can't believe he's still talking about that. I wish he would just shut the hell up.
It could be a little of both, but that's okay.
Probably. That's awesome. Mostly the latter, I'm sure.
I doubt it. I think people are amazed and enamored by your wonderful view of history and facts that not everyone might know.
We'll keep going with that. Okay.
Let's say that's why.
Exactly. It's not my, it's definitely not my rugged good looks.
Okay. So anyway, the other thing we talked about in one of the other, since we're talking YouTube channels, was I mentioned Sunny Farms, which is cool. And I don't know if you've ever had a chance to check those guys out, but it's a fun escape, if you will, just because those of us who grew up working on farms, at least during the summer, I would, and sometimes during the year, you can appreciate how busy some of these people are. And so I give a lot of credit to farmers, and not just because, you know, they are creating food and caring for Americans and have for many, many years. They work their butts off, and these guys are a great example of that. And not even thinking about it, probably, because he's done it his whole life. The main guy and his dad. I mean, they've done it forever. Fourth generation farmers, and it's really fun to just watch some of the stuff they've, you know, from repairing fences to inoculating calves, and to, I mean, it's just stuff they have to be good at, so many different things. And then I'm going to change the oil in my skid loader, and then I've got a power takeoff on the tractor that needs to. It's like, holy crap, they can do all of these things, and it's pretty impressive stuff.
Well, and some of them while they're building their house.
While they're doing something else, exactly. And he was, forgive me, I've spaced on his first name, doesn't matter, he's a great guy, but in his 20s and really funny and quick and newlywed, and they're just good people, and you can tell, good family people. His dad's hilarious, probably younger than I am, but no less funny than I am. So it's fun to watch them interact, you know, the kid and his dad, because they're just great together. But it's a lot of that, you know, one is already doing something while the other one is explaining it to the audience. This is what we're doing. You know, his dad's already on it or whatever, because they can communicate without even speaking.
I think it's funny, John, that I don't think you and I have shared the fact that we're starting to watch farming videos on YouTube as well, because I just started watching farming videos. I watch these two different families, one that's in Minnesota, in southern Minnesota, and one that's in Montana. And as they go through a lot of these things, the exact same thing.
But I don't. But
they're don't, bigger. They're big farmers.
I don't know if I would call Yellowstone a farming family.
No. I'm not talking about Yellowstone.
Hey, Beth. Hey,
Sunny,
Beth
but Dutton. Sunny Farms.
Beth Dutton is not a farmer.
She is definitely not a farmer.
No,
she's definitely a farmer's daughter. She's definitely not
a
farmer.
A couple of farmers. I'm not sure. Dated.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
Awesome characters. Anyway, yes, catch up on Yellowstone if you haven't already. Well, that's cool. I'm glad you're doing that.
Well, it's really speaking
interesting to watch that, especially, you know, our Midwestern upbringing mostly, and that's such a prevalent part of life there.
It is. And now I forgot what I was going to ask you about that.
Perfect.
Have you watched the new season yet of Clarkson's Farm?
We have begun to, yes. We're a few episodes in. I fell asleep the
I
other
can't
night
wait
so I
for you to
oh fit. Jeremy, one more. Yeah, look, it's late.
Oh my goodness.
Just fall asleep, but knowing that I can always get back to it, it's no big deal. Sorry, Jeremy. Right.
Yeah, I look forward to the time where we can have a full conversation about, because I've watched the whole season already.
Oh, okay.
And I'll probably watch it a second time. But I'm looking forward to it because it is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And a lot of the stuff that you're talking about, with this other farm videos that you watch, are happening this season as well. So
be
interested to get your take on it.
Awesome.
Anything else new and coming to, cause those were really the two highlights that I had for you. My brain has been off this week and this weekend. So it's kind of,
you need to give it a rest. Your brain is just constantly moving.
It is. I try to, but, you know, a lot of things like that are illegal. So I stay away.
Yes. Don't I know it? No, just some cool stuff going on. It's good to, as you know, we're in our house, and I think 3 weeks now we've been in the house, and my gosh, it's just, we've got most of my next goal, and it's a series of goals when you move, I think. I don't know if you remember the last time you did, but my next goal is to get the damn truck in the garage. We have a three-car garage and one four-wheel vehicle. I shouldn't say that. Two four-wheel vehicles now because we just bought a used lawnmower. I can't get the truck in yet. So it's we're moving stuff around. Well, I mean, I could, but it has to – it's a little bit awkward because the truck has to go in at an angle. In Florida, since you have no basement, you have a limited amount of space for things like, stackable washer and dryer and your water heater and an air exchanger that does not fit in the attic. So it's all in the garage. So suddenly this massive three-car garage that you have, it has about two cars worth of room. And so with a Harley and a 50-inch lawn tractor, it makes it tough to angle the damn truck in to get enough room. I can't go straight back with the truck. And it's only a 5-foot bed, 5.5-foot bed. It's not like it's an 8-foot box on the extended cab.
Right.
It does not fit stem to stern, except maybe 2 inches I could make it in that way. But so it's, it needs to go in at an angle, and that makes it tougher.
I can relate with that. When we first moved here, it was probably a good year and a half before we could fit both cars in the garage because of all the stuff we don't have a basement either. Tennessee or Nashville is known for not having basements because of the stone, bedrock. So unless you're really rich and can blast, you don't have a basement. But yeah, it's remarkable how frustrating it can be if you can't put your car in. I was actually having a conversation with someone yesterday about the next step for us, because I watched a video. Surprise anyone that I watched a video, but I've been reading a lot of news articles but this guy was explaining it, and I thought he did a really good job about, and I'm not going to do as good a job explaining any of this, but he was talking about, basically, you know how we have income to debt ratios when we're talking about buying cars and things like that. But the similar things happen with housing. And I'm not talking specifically about loans. I'm talking about the value of homes and how they compare it in the country to see how everything fits. The value of a home versus what someone can afford in generalizations. Not talking about individual houses. I'm talking about the home market, housing market. And Nashville now has surpassed everyone in the country, not only including Texas, who has a lot of people moving to it, or Florida, who has a lot of people moving to it. Tennessee is the highest, even over San Francisco.
Oh, wow!
So the value, the home value versus what people can afford is, it's like 80. I think it's 80% was the number or something like that. Where San Francisco is like 48%, 50%, something like that. So, I mean, it's out of this world. And I mean, we've been feeling it, and we've talked about it on the podcast, how things here are just so expensive, especially when it comes to anything that has to do with your house. But we're still the actual point to his video was the fact that, you know, we're about to see the housing bubble again burst. It's not going to be as bad as the last one, but Nashville is going to probably, not Nashville, but Tennessee as a whole, but I live in Nashville. So Nashville is going to be about 12 years or 12 months behind the curve. So once we see that bubble burst, Nashville is going to still be good for a while. And he basically said, if you want to sell your house, now is the time to sell your house. If you want to buy a house, don't buy a house in Nashville right now. Wait a couple of years because everything is going to go down. And so, of course, that means my whole goal is not a short-term goal, but my whole goal was to keep this house, but rent it out and go build somewhere, because we don't want to move again. We really don't want to move again, but we know that this isn't our final home. We want to actually have a true home that we're finally, this is everything we want in it, you know, including a garage, because that's my complaint is we can fit our two cars in there barely. We can't fit anything else in the garage. Anytime I want to get my tools out, I have to pull both cars out, pull everything that's in front of the toolbox. Yeah, I mean, it's a process. Anytime I want to get the lawnmower out, I've got to pull both cars out. I only have to pull one car out, but then I've got to, you know, it's a challenge because it's so small. We don't have room on either side of the house to put anything else. So we can't put a second garage. We can't build anything in the backyard. So, and the driveway is very, very small. So we don't, if we wanted to get a trailer for camping, for example, we couldn't have it at the house. Not only would it not fit, but we also have an HOA that says, it's not allowed according to our HOA. So a lot of things have driven us to the decision that that's what we want to do. But now, after everything I've read and after what he said, it's kind of like, yeah, but if I sell the house right now, I've got so much equity built up that I could take care of every little bit of debt that we have and still have money left over, and we could go build somewhere. But where would we do that? Because we can't afford to do it in Nashville.
Yeah, exactly. So now you are moving, and that's what you're committing to. It's tough to time the market. It is.
Yeah.
And especially if you're in a place you like, and we've tried to do it. We did it in Wisconsin, but then, you know, life throws you curves, and you know, you have a kid that, well, we're moving to Florida. Are you? Oh, okay. Well, super. So yeah, you think you're on top of it, but you know, it's going to be you're going to get a curveball someplace. So yeah, it's tough, and it's, you know, and these experts, and I know I'm not trying to diminish them, but for every one that says you better sell now or you better not buy now, there are 10 who have said something different. And so try to jump into that, you know, and then you have all 8 of them saying, I told you so, whether they did or not. And, you know, it's trying to second or first guess what's going to happen. And it's a crapshoot. I'm just convinced of that, that if you find someplace you like and you enjoy the house, and it's not like you wouldn't change stuff, because there are always things. I would have put in more outlets out in our lanai if I had it to do all over again. I still could do it, but I mean, it's
sure.
You kind of go, damn it, why didn't I? Because I put more in the garage. Genius. I'm patting myself on the back. Oh, I got extra. That was a brilliant move. Well, but there's 2 on the lanai for that entire, you know, 800 space. Square foot area. So anyway, whatever. But yeah, you can't. It's not a guarantee one way or the other that it's going to be that the house that you build or the house that the next one is going to be perfect, because it's a crapshoot.
Right. Well, I don't expect it to be perfect, but I do expect it to fit our lifestyle a bit more. You know, we have found with this, we'll call it an experiment. This is the first time we've moved into a neighborhood with an HOA. It's the last time we will ever live anywhere with an HOA. I can't stand it so much more to that.
For sure. Yeah. There are pluses and minuses. I've seen both ends of it. But yeah, you're right. It's for somebody, and I would think for you especially, it would be, because I know, from our conversations over the years, I know that does not fall under my what would Nick like about a new neighborhood. It's not an HOA, because you're more of a country. I like to be out in the country, and I like to have, and in a town that can be difficult, in a subdivision or whatever, that can be difficult.
Yep.
But having a place where you build, you go, wow, I'm glad there's no HOA. And that's currently us, but we've had it before. So I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a fine line for us. I mean, all of us, I think all 3 of us agree. It's, you know, the best and worst place we've lived in the last 15 years was, we had 6.5 acres in Bonacqua, Tennessee, which is just outside of Williamson County, which is where Franklin is, for anyone that knows. And it was actually, Bonacqua proper is in Hickman County. Okay. And I know I'm talking over a lot of people's heads, but in Hickman County, but our property was actually in Dixon County, which is where we moved to the city of Dixon after we lived in Bonacqua. We had 6.5 acres out there. We absolutely loved it, except we were living in a trailer, because the plan was to build. And me, who works on the internet, couldn't get internet. I had satellite internet, and this was before satellite internet was really good. It's gotten much better thanks to Elon Musk, but so those were the 2 biggest strikes. And, you know, we were ready. We weren't making enough where we could build yet, because we had to rebuild there's a whole long story behind it, but we were basically rebuilding from a lost business and things like that. So we couldn't build yet. And we were both, Jen and I were both sick of it. And we just, and of course, internet was a big issue because that was my livelihood. So that's why we ended up moving into Dixon. But that was honestly, like, we refer to that as the stinky house, or not, sorry, not the stinky house, the icky house, because that's what Peyton remembers. It was icky. It was only temporary, but it was the icky house. But it was a beautiful piece of property. It was in the right spot where it was still close enough to the city that we could get the city stuff that we wanted. But we were still far enough out in the country where it was the country, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of what we want. The problem is for us, you know, is I'm still a city boy. She's still a city girl. And even though we don't want people around us, so it's wow. really hard to find that happy place. Yeah. It's really hard to find that happy place.
Yeah, it is. And,
it's like,
and
I want the coffee shop, but I don't want the people in the coffee shop.
That's very well said. It's really that's an excellent point. And I find myself doing that with traffic as well. I do not like traffic, and I will organize my life around avoiding traffic, whether it's leaving at 3 a.m. like I used to drive from Wisconsin to Detroit, or what. It's okay. I would rather do that than fight the traffic. And here we don't have lot near where we are, but we have enough that it, you know, if I'm stuck at a stoplight longer than I want to be, I had the Harley out today and I'm sitting at the stoplight and it was fine, except in traffic, it's not as nice. And I got to razz the engine because I want these elderly people to know that I'm next to them. And sometimes it's, like this, because glad I did that, because you were about this far from cutting my ass off. So that's because, this is what's going to happen if you don't expect it. You go from one stoplight and then, there's the next light, 100. Yeah, it's red too. And then, around the corner, red light. And I'm sitting and waiting. But come on, I just want what little hair I have left to be in the breeze. And it made it a little bit. This sucks.
But listening to myself and you have this conversation, I really now understand a lot better why we don't have very many listeners. mainly because the ones who do listen go, God, he's such a boozy son of a bitch. Bougie.
Well, not currently boozy, no. But
not maybe, currently boozy. You know, I'm soon, on. Very soon. I mean, after this podcast, that's definitely going to be happening.
It's on the to-do list.
It is on the to-do list. Got some fresh olives, and I'm all set to go.
Boom. On the olive note, on that note, to it.
On that note.
It just felt really good to go, I have some olives waiting for me right afterward. On that note.
On that note. Yeah, I get you. Now I got you. I was a little slow on the uptake for that. I need to pick me up or put me down.
Oh, that's funny. Do not put you down. That's it's too early to sleep.
Well, put me down. Well, yeah. I was going to say put me down for two olives.
Oh, there we go. Now
I like that. Ding. Yeah. Maybe even three.
Wow.
Might be a three olive night. Yeah.
I know. Yeah. You just knocked that one out of the park. Home slice.
I know. I'm just so good at things like that. Anyway, John, I do need to head. We're going to cut this one a little bit short, but we needed to get back. We might. So I will be honest, folks. This is coming out on Tuesday. It's the next couple of weeks. This week and next week are going to be very busy for yours truly. So you might have another solo, John, or we might be able to fit another one of these in before the following Tuesday. Next Tuesday from when this is airing, but you might also have a classic. So I'm going to put that out there this time. It's not that easy this time of year ever to get all this stuff done, but we'll do our best. But I wanted to give you a heads up. So if you see that, don't worry about us. We're fine. We're just slogging through a ton of work and travel. And
do check out the classics too. Don't just say, it's a classic, I'm not going to watch. They're fun to watch or listen to, and if you haven't watched,
they are fun to listen to them.
It's fun for us, maybe for nobody else, but things, especially some of the earlier ones. The technology has changed, and it's kind of fun to see, you know, the differentiation from one to the next.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you said that. So I did purposely choose one this week that was only a year old. mm-hmm. because a year ago we weren't putting video on Spotify and now we are. So sure. I was able to upload that. And now yeah. That's really the reason I chose that, because I had been in the past, just anytime I did a classic, would choose the audio version only because that was the easiest thing to put up. So I was pretty pleased with that.
We run the risk of scaring people away with our faces, though, you know, too. That's the other thing. I had no idea that was going to be on YouTube or Spotify.
All right, everybody. Well, John, it was wonderful seeing you again. Glad you got the Harley out. And I'm going to go. We had one day this week where I had the tops off the Jeep, but it was so windy, it was not pleasant. And that was unfortunate, but yes, it's still cold and icky here. Cold, icky, and rainy, but that's okay. Yeah. So it's still cold because I don't like hot.
It'll get better.
My space heater. It'll get better. It'll get better in the new building, and I'm going to wait for next week to explain that one. Ooh, folks, have a great week. Talk to you soon. Hey, before John tells you to see ya, head up to PottyMouse.com to see all of our past episodes. You can also see us on YouTube. If you watch anything on YouTube, please like and or subscribe. That's going to help us quite a bit. Do the same on Spotify or anywhere else that you listen to our podcast. Make sure that you share the love. Let everyone know that you love this podcast, because we do want to grow our audience, and we do want to make sure that we reach as many people as we possibly can, so they understand how bougie we really are.
Not boozy.
And on that note, John, talk to you soon.
See ya.